Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Hawkeye fans. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register, Dargan Southard of the Des Moines Register. We took you to the finish line for the second straight year to the national championship game. Dargan's got to mute himself or this podcast is going to suck. Thank you, buddy. Hawkeyes lose to South Carolina. Yeah. 87-75. I think that was the final score. It's been a bit of a blur, I would say, when you cover the national championship game and the losing locker room. We haven't covered many losses, Dargan. This one was pretty compelling, I would say. Compelling from the start. Hawkeyes take a 10-0 lead. You feel like, oh my God, are they actually going to do this? And then as the game went on, you just kind of realize how much Iowa was overmatched. And I know we'll get into this a little later, but it just felt like it almost made you appreciate more that Iowa actually beat this team a year ago. It's 80-1 in its last 81 games with two national championships. It probably should have been three, but because Iowa has Caitlin Clark, it wasn't three. That was honestly probably my biggest takeaway from today is, like, with Caitlin Clark, it's amazing what Iowa did.
Yeah, and again, you know, South Carolina, they don't necessarily have the flashy superstar like a Caitlin Clark, but I think you saw today just how draining and grueling it can be playing them, because for all of Iowa's success in the first quarter, in the third quarter, they needed more of that and, you know, eventually ran out of gas. And so, you know, I think it was trending this way. I think a lot of people thought, I mean, everybody knew that Iowa was going to need pretty much a near flawless effort for four quarters to pull off this stunner. But I think the vibe from everybody in black and gold post game, obviously there's sadness because there's such an important time and this program's history is over now, but I think everybody could hold their head high knowing that in this game in particular, everything was left out there. Everything was, the tank was emptied. And it just so happened that there's a better team on the other side. And, you know, that's often the case in title games like this. So I think Iowa, disappointed, but happy with, you know, the effort and all it put out there today.
Yeah. You just compare the teams, and Iowa got zero bench points. We didn't expect them to get much. They were basically down to five players for the final four that they could count on. That's nothing against anyone else, but that's just the approach that Bluter took. Their five best players had to be out there all the time. South Carolina had Tessa Johnson with 19, Camila Cardoza with 15 and 17 boards. Tahina Pau-Pau with 14 points and three threes. Chloe Kitts had 11 points, 10 boards. Bree Hall, 7 points. Raven Johnson, you know, one of their better players, had 3 points. And Ashlyn Watkins, who had 20 rebounds in their last game, had 3 points and 5 boards. Like, they just come at you with such waves. And Iowa, you're right, couldn't keep up. Endurance-wise. They go one for. They had some open looks in the third quarter, Dargan. I mean, they were in this game. They were in this game, even 80-75 in the final 4.5 minutes. They were in this game, but the legs were gone. The shots weren't falling. This was not Iowa's best offensive game, but this is also the best field goal percentage defense team in the country. So there's a reason for that. And I actually thought, I come out of this game again saying, my God, it's amazing what this Iowa team did with just being, you know, not as much height, not as much talent in a lot of ways, but they got to the finish line of the women's basketball season, which was watched by probably about 20 million people today.
Yeah. And I mean, you think about all that Iowa had to do to get here, not just in the tournament, but the whole season. It could have very easily gotten to the point where they get to March in the NCAA tournament and they could have just been out of gas, you know, mentally, physically, obviously. And none of that was the case. You know, this team had grueling NCAA tournament games, had to, you know, it was different than last year in that they really had to go right into the teeth of their path facing LSU, UConn, and South Carolina back to back to back. And so, you know, some of those looks that often fall for Iowa when they don't on the, some of those open looks, you can kind of see at that point, okay, this team is running on E. And I think it definitely, if there is one small positive, I think it elevates even more the win that Iowa got last year over South Carolina, because it took, you know, that was the kind of effort that they needed again today. And so to get it even once against this type of team is pretty special. And, you know, it was interesting to kind of watch Caitlin Clark's last media obligations in Iowa colors. I mean, last year she was there was a lot of tears, a lot of emotion, and there was some of that. But it seemed like she herself was kind of at peace with everything that had happened, both in her career and today. And so that was interesting to see, because you could have certainly envisioned this big sentimental, emotional scene afterward with Caitlin Clark realizing her career is over. But as Caitlin has done time and time again, mature than most in just about every situation. And you saw that again with her being able to reflect, being able to appreciate everything that she and this team have done, this program has done, even though today didn't go the way she wanted. And even though Caitlin not winning a title is going to keep some silly discussions going even longer. So it was a respectable effort to end on, especially with all that's been in Iowa's face this entire year. And I think it really shows that, you know, there's a chance that the expectations, you know, going to back-to-back title games is tough, but I think long-term the expectations for this program have permanently changed to where it's not just hoping to be in big games and play competitively. It's winning big games and being on big stages and doing incredible things. And obviously that all starts with Caitlin's energy and confidence that she brought to this program when she came here.
Yeah. I mean, there's only so much, like, you know, oh, if this could have gone differently, blah, blah, blah. Like it just felt like the better team won today. I put this in my column, like Iowa had the best player. South Carolina had the best team. And I think that was the story of the game. They end up with a 51-29 edge on the boards. All three seniors came out with 20 seconds to go, but they had not come off the floor to that point. Caitlin Clark, Gabby Marshall, Kate Martin, the three seniors play 39-40. Caitlin ends up with 30 points, 8 boards, 5 assists in her Hawkeye finale. Kate Martin, you know, I thought played really well, 16 points, 5 boards. Sydnia Folter, 12 points. Had some nice moments in the game. Hannah Stolke had 11 points, 9 of them in the second quarter. She kind of had a couple authoritative blocks in there. And then Gabby Marshall, you know, it was a tough 48 hours for her, which it shouldn't have been. I feel like that was the most unfortunate part of this whole weekend is that somehow Gabby Marshall, who played incredible defense against Paige Beckers and did everything right to draw the critical offensive foul call on UConn, because without her hustle, that moving screen doesn't take place, and to be the subject of hate emails or messages, hate messages, I think is how she put it. It was super unfortunate and super disappointing, just for the whole world. You know, it's not how a game, that shouldn't be your takeaway from making the national championship game with a clutch play and, you know, giving 40 minutes of effort. But anyway, she talked about that. Let's go into post game. She talked a little bit about that and just she and a Folter in the locker room were the, you know, had the most tears that I saw. I don't know what you encountered. I know Kate was really emotional initially, and you talked to her. I talked to Caitlin for not one-on-one, but like I was with her side session for about 12 minutes, and she was pretty, by that point, she was pretty thankful, grateful. We'll get into some of her comments, but anyway, I felt Gabby was, watched the video, and I thought Sydney was especially emotional too. You know, she didn't really have a role in this title game last year. She did today. And then we'll get to Jan Jensen, I guess, at some point. I don't want to leave that out, but she was had some strong words for Dawn Staley as well. So what did you observe kind of in the post-game setting, Dargan, for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as you're walking down the hallway to the locker room, having gone through last year's post-game scene, you can kind of brace for it being a little bit of an uncomfortable environment. And it was to a certain extent, but I really thought that everybody in the locker room, as expected at this point, handled themselves professionally, gracefully, and all that. And, you know, there was a lot of reflection, obviously, you know, particularly from Gabby and Caitlin and Kate, just what they've done and where they've taken this program. In a few short years, I mean, you hear all the time to leave the jersey in a better place than you found it. And it seems a little cliche and a little repeated, but I mean, this group right here maximized that as much as you possibly could. And so there was a lot of appreciation for what's happened. And then, you know, kind of another interesting angle was, you know, I asked some of the seniors, hey, you're turning this program over to names like Hannah and Sid, and obviously, you know, more pieces coming in. And I think everybody is really reflective on just how much has changed with this program to where, you know, the next wave of Hawkeyes, both here and coming in, are going to be able to carry this forward and have this infiltrate things for a good while to come. And so I think everybody who's going to be back is ready to embrace that and is ready to have that be a consistent reality and not just somebody like Caitlin coming in and shaking everything up. Not to say that Iowa's going to have any success like it did the last 2 years, because it's obviously hard to do, but I think the championship expectation has been definitely cemented with this program. And I think you'll see, you know, it's not just going to fade away for the people who are going to be on the team next year. They've been at this stage now twice. And, you know, I think Jan referred to it. It's addicting to be that, you know, get this high level of basketball and be in these types of games. And I think the motivation to get this program at a point where it can do something like this again, as difficult as it may be, I think is stronger than it was ever before, just based on how much things like this seem possible for a program like Iowa now.
Yeah, as somebody who's – yeah, good stuff there. As somebody who grew up in Iowa, you know, I was 6 years old when – Iowa made the Final Four in 1980, and I don't really remember it much. I remember Steve Waite's bucket, but I've seen the, you know, the replays and stuff, but I don't. So this for my lifetime, this was easily the, and I think most people out there, based on my observation, like the most joy and most fun they've ever had with a Hawkeye team. Now I suppose some wrestling fans out there would disagree with that, but, even like 1980, the people that remember it, you know, it was cool, but it was also somewhat brief. You know, it was an unexpected run. And then, you know, a couple of days later, your best player hurts his knee in the national semifinals and you're out or whatever. But like this Iowa women's ride, I feel like they may get to another national title in my lifetime, maybe in basketball or football, but I don't know if they will, you know, like it's just so hard to do. And we just saw that even being here, like UConn had five players hurt, you know, like and on the bench, like UConn's going to be a juggernaut again. South Carolina, like, is not going away. It's just so hard to do this. And you had the generational player, and it, to me, it cements even more of Caitlin Clark's legacy for me, because what she was able to do and lift this team up, just seeing some of these teams up close and personal, like on the court and stuff like that, like how good they are and how Iowa hung with these teams and beat these teams. I mean, to beat LSU and UConn and give South Carolina a loss last year and then give them your best shot this year to the point where you're up 10-0 and 20-9 and still in the game with 4 minutes to go. I mean, to me, that's – I know I'm biased, but to me, that just cements – it cements Caitlin Clark's legacy as the greatest women's basketball player of all time to date. But it also cements to me – it reminds me that you don't get these moments often in Hawkeye sports, and you might not ever again. And I think everybody understands that, and it's, I think they fully enjoyed this whole ride.
Yeah, and, you know, beyond that, I think what is most impressive about this two-year stretch in particular is, I mean, other than maybe wrestling, most of the time that Iowa athletics has reached a stage like this or a stage close to this, it's been, you know, an underdog run or a, you know, maybe they pulled some upsets or came out of nowhere. Well, that was the case a little bit last year, but this team was one of the elite in the sport for the entire year, had no significant drop-off, handled all that came with that, even though it was foreign to just about everybody. And so, you know, it's rare that Iowa is an elite member of really any sport. And for at least this year, you know, Iowa was in those conversations with a UConn and a South Carolina and all that. And so, you know, maybe it might be more fleeting than some of those dynasty programs, but I think it really puts the confidence that Caitlin Clark brought to this program on even greater display, that it was Iowa getting here, at least this year, by being the team that everybody had circled, by being the team that everybody wanted to beat. And it was interesting, you know, Caitlin was asked, maybe not directly, but I did see a quote where she said that this year was actually even more special than last year's run. And I think for a large reason, it's that, because this team met expectations that were sky high from the very beginning. They handled all the distractions that came to them. I mean, there were so many opportunities for this team to kind of mentally collapse or become exhausted with all that was asked of them and Caitlin's fame throughout this year. But, you know, other than winning a title, they met every single expectation this season with a player who is not going to be forgotten by anyone for a long time. And I think that is why this whole run is being appreciated even more, is because it wasn't Iowa. It wasn't plucky Iowa as it often is. It was dominant, in your face, elite Iowa. And that's obviously, you know, doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, I mentioned Jan Jensen. Talk about her for a minute here. She kind of piggybacked off of some of the latest flap. I mean, there's always flap. That's what's kind of, I mean, it is kind of a blessing and a curse, I guess. You know, so much attention that women's basketball is getting right now, and you know, it's. But there's also negative stuff too. So let me see if I can find this quickly here. But the video's up. But basically, she was asked, the question was, how Dawn Staley just went on the court and, like, said some really complimentary things about Caitlin Clark. That was the question. And the answer was not what I expected from Jan. She basically said, I can't find the quote right now. Sorry. I transcribed it. I know I did. I'll find it. Oh, here it is. I found it. She goes, I'm pretty much – so Staley was one of the ones that said you have to win a championship to be a GOAT, basically, I believe, right? Is that right?
Yes, she said that yesterday. And
that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And Caitlin didn't win the Dawn Staley Award, which is pretty funny.
It's just
– I mean, she – yeah, she scored – I think she ended up with 1,234 career or points this season, so that's 125 – or 120 some more than anyone in history, 125 in anyone. But anyway, wasn't the best guard. So Jan said this. She goes, I'm pretty much happy-go-lucky on my Twitter, and I need to choose my words cautiously now. And then she like paused for a while. And she goes, there have been few, if any, if you research, that have done what Caitlin Clark has done, that have managed the critiquing. She's bottom line, she said, she's really delivered about every game. I'd have to research in the history of history what player delivered about every single game they played and took them 2 times to the national title game. That's like a pro team over there. Pretty sure you could put them in the WNBA and they do all right. And then she kind of trailed off. I think she doesn't like to throw shots, but she was defending her player. And so it was just unfortunate, especially with Lynette Woodard stuff propping up today. Like all of a sudden she's claiming that she has the real record because she played with a men's ball or whatever.
It seems to get dumber and dumber as this season has gone on.
Anybody who watched this game in that first quarter, especially, like how can you discredit? I mean, she was 1-on-5 in a lot of ways, and I'm not taking away from Kate Martin and Hannah Stolke and everybody out there, but she was the one player that gave him any chance to be in this game. So anyway, that was what Jan said.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's another element that you have to address and factor in to the quote-unquote GOAT debate is, I mean, I think without question, no women's college basketball player has been under more scrutiny for as long as Caitlin Clark has in history. I mean, you know, whether it's Twitter, whether it's this or that, I mean, there's just been so many eyeballs on her. And she said, you know, it's not always been easy. And that's completely understandable because it seems like everywhere she turns, there's a new controversy that she had absolutely no hand in generating, which has probably been one of the more frustrating parts for her and all of the Iowa program. Is it's not like Caitlin Clark's up there spouting off controversial things left and right. And it's just, you know, this is a product of your takes. I mean, she has literally said, been complimentary of everybody who has had a hand in making this game possible and getting it to this point. And so for it to have, I mean, that just kind of shows where social media is at in 2024, that even if you tried to please everyone and tried to have non-controversial opinions, it's going to get twisted one way or another. And so, you know, I think that's whether she knew it or not, this has kind of been the, I don't know if perfect's the right word, but a beneficial lead in to what's coming for her at the WNBA, which, as we can already see, is not going to have any less heat or criticism or scrutiny. And so for her to go through, you know, really this year with everybody on her at all times and to not have a game where it was, I mean, there was no, you know, we've talked about this, even somebody who's a superstar, they may have a, you know, a 15 point off shooting night or something like that. There was none of those. Like, I mean, there was, she played better in some games than others, but there was never like a glaring, where is Caitlin tonight? And that was while shouldering the expectations of being the key reason why this program was going to go anywhere and meet any of these expectations. So along with all the basketball stuff, which people seem to forget that, you know, just there's a stretch where there's like a new stat. Caitlin Clark is the first men or women's player to have this or that. There was one basically every game this year. And so when you combine all that with the unprecedented attention that was on her, that no one in the history of the sport has had to deal with, that's just a fact. There's no debating that. No one has dealt with the pressure and the attention and the dissection than she has. I think all that has to be taken into account along with all the incredible stats and everything else, because for Iowa to get this close to a title, she may have been, you know, as much as there was a hurdle of doubt that Caitlin Clark had to get everyone beyond at the start of her career, that was arguably even stronger for this season. You know, nobody expected them to be in the title game. Nobody expected them to go you know, be in the top five the whole year. Nobody expected them to go 33-5 or 34-5, whatever it was. So that just shows that she's been able to have everything in her face and handle it all. And that's been, for me, probably the most incredible thing to watch, especially when you realize that she's 22.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, just turned 22. The WNBA draft a week from tomorrow. She basically said, you know, she's not done yet. Like, she's excited for it. Like, you would think she'd be just worn out and all that. And Lisa Bluter made a comment this week that I thought was really something to remember, I guess, as we go to watch Caitlin now in the WNBA, is like, it's really hard for rookies, especially making this deep of a run in the NCAA tournament. And like, they're asked to go through what was for Caitlin a 6-month season. I mean, going back to the crossover at Kinnick, and 40 some games when you count the exhibitions, and not to mention the foreign trip, and now a week later be on a WNBA roster and all the obligations that are going to come with that. But she embraces it. And I think that also cements like why the WNBA was the right decision for her, because she has maxed out this roster, honestly, and maxed out the amount of scrutiny she can probably physically handle at this point. Not that she can't handle it, but like, nobody should have to handle the amount she does. So I know you guys have probably seen this already, because that's already got, as I'm reading this, has almost 600, 700 retweets. And I just posted it not long ago. So like, people are going wild about this answer. But if you haven't seen it, this was her final answer as a Hawkeye. And I was lucky enough that I got to ask her last question. I think that was, I appreciate Bailey Turner for that. I know that, she said something really nice to me afterwards too. Like, didn't have to do that either. In appreciation for how I've covered her. So anyway, she said this. I asked her about how on earth did she hold all of it together with the pressure? How did she hold it all together emotionally to continue to come up every night, as you said, play at a high level every single night, including, you know, what a start, 18 points in the first quarter of a national title game. I mean, anybody who tuned in had to be just mesmerized by what she did. And she goes, here's the full answer. Okay. She said, oh gosh, I don't know. I don't get nervous for games. It's crazy. Like, it's the national championship and I walk out there and I'm as calm as I can be. I think that's because I trust all the work I've put in. I know I've been ready for these moments. I thought that was a really good quote. I know this is my last time in playing in a Hawkeye uniform. Like, there's nothing to lose. We're the underdog. Go out there and have a blast. I feel like that's what I've done. I'm so proud of the way I've carried myself. It's certainly been hard at times. I thought this is where I felt like it got real for her. To always be in the spotlight, I'm getting a little emotional, to have everybody's eyeballs on you, but I wouldn't change it for the world, the positive and the negative. I'm so lucky. I'm so fortunate. That's what I always remind myself. There's so many people that would want to be in my shoes. It's been a lot of pressure, but it's also been a lot of fun. And I feel like our team, this is like the best part, and I feel like our team has risen to every single moment, every single challenge. Just so proud of our program. Of course, she brings it back to the team at the very end. So I thought it was a great final answer for her for Hawkeye career.
Yeah, and again, like, this team didn't really have a whole lot of experience with these types of moments before Caitlin Clark. And so for her, confidence was obviously the igniter. But for everybody else to get behind her and fall in line as well as they have and as successfully as they have, I think is also part of her legacy, both in the program and in the sport. Because, I mean, you see all the time somebody comes in, a superstar, and, you know, they may get their stats, they may get their points, but the winning doesn't always come with it. And I think while there was some evidence of that early in Caitlin Clark's career, hey, is the way she does business really going to equate to high level winning? But once everybody got on board on the team, I mean, you saw how much the cohesion really carried Iowa to everything that it has accomplished here. Because without that, you just have a superstar putting up points and maybe the big wins don't come. And so, you know, I think, again, she said it a million times, but that's really been the biggest growth for her in the back half of her Iowa career, is being able to trust people and trust her teammates and not feel like she has to shoulder every single element of the program. And so it is interesting moving forward. You know, everybody's kind of jumped at the chance to say, oh, Caitlin's, you know, going to be in for a rude awakening or any of that. I think what people are forgetting is she knows that. Like, she's very self-aware. She's not somebody who's running around saying, yeah, I'm about to dominate the league and own it. I mean, her self-awareness has been a massive asset through all of this. And, you know, I think the last year, 2 years of her being in the spotlight has her prepared to handle all that's going to be coming at her at the next level, more than maybe even the basketball, because she's going to be a lightning rod for criticism and scrutiny and dissection as she goes to the next level. But as she said, you know, she's very aware that so many basketball players and people would love to have her ability and have her platform and have her confidence, really. And so for her to be able to realize all that as she's gone through many of these moments, I think really sets the stage for what's coming next. And, you know, as you know, it seems like the public perception is going to be in a little bit similar place as it was when she started at Iowa. Hey, here comes this player with all this hype and all this talk. Is she really going to be able to match it? And you saw what she did in college. And so I think there's no reason to think that, even if it doesn't happen right away, even if she doesn't have the best rookie year ever, that Caitlin Clark's going to find a way to greatness at the next level, just as she has here.
Yeah. And I'll make a prediction about her WNBA career. I don't know how many points she's going to score or how many assists she'll have, but I'll bet you that she will make everybody on the Indiana Fever better. And she's going to be everyone around the city and around that program, franchise, whatever, is going to say, wow, like, she's an amazing teammate. And, you know, you're lucky to play with her and you're lucky to take the floor with her. I think she's going to change people's perspectives as she goes, just like she did here in college. There could be some bumps, but I bet she handles them well. And I bet she continues to excel on the court and off, honestly. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing what she's been able to do and the ride she's taken us on, even, Dargan, in these 4 years, but especially the last two. But now we get to go home. 11 nights on the road. We maxed it out. I packed for 11 nights in the carry-on. Made it. Saved the sweater for the championship. And I made it. I still got one clean T-shirt to go. I got a shirt I'm going to wear tomorrow on the plane. I'm good. But thank you all for listening. All season long, we enjoyed it. Any final words, Dargan?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I like what you said about taking us on the ride, too, because, you know, obviously we're unbiased journalists and all that, but I can honestly say that Caitlin Clark's fame and covering her fame throughout this year and last year has made me better at my job, you know, because you know that everything you write about her has a chance to go viral. Everything you write about her is going to be devoured by everybody. And so, you know, it rubbed her confidence and greatness even rubs off on people she probably didn't think it would. You know, the people covering her who have been locked into this journey the whole way. And so, you know, I never thought covering Iowa women's basketball that I'd cover back-to-back title games, certainly. But the fact that it worked out that way and there was so many big moments along the way, I think made me better. And I think made a lot of people better who have covered her, for the bulk of her time here.
Great way to finish it, man. Good ride. Thank you, Hawk fans. Dargan Southard, Chad Lystico, thanks for joining us all season long. Take care. Good night.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.